I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about always. I was just thinking about this chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about how it says, God is love, and love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Just this word, always. God is the same. God is love and God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And just this concept of always, that he's unwavering, he's immovable, and learning to receive that and to let it flow through us, and that we become more steadfast and immovable in this, in our love toward God, in our love of ourselves, and in our love of the people around us as well, where we get to this place of always, but I believe it first comes through receiving this from God. Well, let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, and then we'll get into the training. Now, if you're new to us here, the whole program that we have here, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And I figured the most valuable thing I could ever pass on would be wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and rubies. And so I made it my goal or my vision to create manuals and training and lessons to pass on for every area of life. And we've got training for spiritual growth and mindset and emotions and purpose, health, family, finances, order, time, and community. When I got started, really, I had no clue where to start, but I made the commitment to get started, and God began to show up and he began to train me. And out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the first place I would want to start is with this 30-day prayer challenge process, where we pray about a 2-minute long prayer that we pray every day. And it's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then after prayer, we do the other half of prayer, where we take a couple minutes to get still and to listen for what God would have us do over the next 24 hours. And we create a plan for the day with God for the next 24 hours. And then we focus on executing, staying tuned into him, listening for his voice as he begins to navigate us through the day. And as we do this, I truly believe we get God navigating and driving us throughout our day and leading us throughout our day. It creates a much different day. And hopefully we're getting to this place as we're staying connected to him and focused on his presence, that he's always with us. He's always protecting us. He's always there with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We get tuned into him. We stay connected to him. I believe it will truly change the way you experience your days. But we do two things, 30-day prayer challenge and regular daily communion. Those are the beginning and the end of everything we do. Those are the two most important things. And if we do those two things, everything in the middle tends to work out in the end. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody watching or listening to this and all their families, their friends, those connected to them. And I pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and your grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I thank you that as we're talking about this today, you are always the same, that our security can be in you, that you are fixed, you are immovable in your love for us, and you never change. And I just thank you for that. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named in this age and the age to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us and to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to the people right around us, but hopefully to people all over the world, Lord. And keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. Father, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and lift us up and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so let's take just a second, a couple minutes here to do the other half of prayer. So first question to ask, over the last 24 hours, hopefully you did this process with us over the last couple of days, the last 24 hours, you could even say, did you execute? How'd you do? What were your wins over the last 24 hours? And if you had some things that you didn't get done, don't get into condemnation for it. Look at the things that you did get done. Look how far you've come already. Gain some encouragement from the steps you did take and just keep chipping away at it. Keep staying in the present moment, doing the things that you know to do each day. And then how was your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And remember, it's either yes or no. Either I had God's just overwhelming supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him flowing in my life today, or I did not. It's either yes or no. Either that was flowing in me, either his peace and joy and confidence in him was flowing, or it was my own, or I was in stress and fear and worry. And remember, the answer is, if the answer to that question was no, I did not have that flowing in my life today, the solution is get your mind fixed back onto God, that he is always with you, that he loves you, that his love never fails, that he's always protecting you. You can always trust in him. He always trusts in you. He's always with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And nothing is impossible with him. Get your eyes fixed back on him. Often we get wavering, looking at other things. We start looking at the storms, like Peter walking on the water. He's walking by faith, but all of a sudden these storms start raging around him. And he gets his eyes fixed onto these things. Get your eyes fixed back onto God. He's with you right in the present moment. Whatever you're doing today, he's with you there with you. And then, what are the things that you know to do? You have an anointing. You have an unction from the Holy One where you know what to do. You know everything that you need to do today. You know the right steps to take. And that's where you can follow that peace on the inside and follow that those nudges you have on the inside to do the things that you know to do today. So there might be a bunch of little things that you need to do. Maybe you need to do some things around the house. Maybe there's some little administrative things that you need to do. Sometimes as those things pile up on the inside, and one of the reasons why I like to do this process before we get into the teaching is that it helps you hear more clearly. As we chip away at those things, we get them listed out and we start taking action on them and chipping away at those things that are piling up on the inside, it removes some things out of the way so that you can better hear and understand what God's trying to say to you. You can better receive it because those things are not in the way blocking our clarity. Because anything that's on your conscience, is there anything that's on your conscience that you know you need to do? And speaking of that, one thing I often forget to say in this is forgiveness. Is there any relationship that doesn't have peace? If there's any relationship where you don't feel peace, you might need to take some steps to begin to reconcile in that area, to increase your clarity, to just walk in a higher level of love. That would be a step God, I know, is prompting you to take if you have some of those issues going on. So what are the things that you know to do? And then what are those things that are stirring on the inside of you that maybe God's prompting you to do, but it's going to take some courage to do those things? How could you take the first step today? How could you take one step closer to that today? Maybe there's some bigger projects to do that look overwhelming and scary. How could you take one step forward on that today and start executing on these things? I believe if you'll start creating a list, and like I said, if you want to get some more training on this process, you can go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com, and on our free tools and resources page, you'll find more on this prayer challenge process. You'll find some additional training videos that break down the prayer and give you some insights into that prayer a little bit more. And then you also find a tracker that you can use to go through this process of planning your day, of executing and tracking how you're doing as you go. And then we've got one more question to ask. God, now that we got things cleared out a little bit, hopefully we can receive guidance from God a little bit better. All right, God, what is the most important thing that you are trying to show me, that you are trying to tell me today? just take about a minute or two. If you need to pause the recording, you can. And just listen. Get still. Get listening. And whatever comes to mind, whatever you start to think about after we ask that question, that was more than likely God trying to show you something. Don't make it overly complicated. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And remember, it's his voice that is trying to woo you out. Job chapter 36, trying to woo you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from all restriction and your table laden with choice food. And John chapter 10, Jesus says, it's his voice that leads us out. So as we start practicing this every day, hearing his voice, just writing down whatever you hear. If you miss it, that's okay. We're practicing this and we're going to grow stronger in it day by day. You know, I was just talking with my kids last night and I was telling them the story about a friend of mine who is a very high level drummer. He's like a professional drum player and he does a lot of worship music and things like that. But he's had some very well-known musicians seek him out to come play drums for them at some of their concerts. And he was telling me one time, he said a couple things. Number one, he said, when I'm playing music, and we're going to talk about this with communion today. He said, when I'm playing music, it's like I've got my spirit worshiping God. My mind and emotions are worshiping God. But then I'm playing the drums. I've got physically something to do. And it's like my whole spirit, soul and body are united together. And he said, that's the times when I feel the most connected to God. And when you are going out and you are executing the things that you know to do, and you're trusting that God's with you there, doing those things with you, you will feel this greatly enhanced connection with God. But he also said this, he said, when I was first learning how to play drums, he said, I had a drum teacher. And he said, I used to get upset with him because my drum teacher would make me just practice the very basics over and over and over and over again. He said, he would just make me practice just one strike, just one, just one, just one. He said, I wanted to just go on and just, he's like, I want to play the drums. He said, I wanted to just start doing all these really fancy things, but he kept making me come back and just play and play and play. And I was telling this to my kids because we were, we're getting into the summertime. And I said, we're going to keep doing some schoolwork stuff at home. We do Bible lessons and some other schoolwork. And so we're going to continue to do that during the summer. And they were kind of complaining about it a little bit. And I told them this story. And I said, it's these fundamentals. He said, looking back now, he said, it was the greatest thing that my teacher could have ever done for me. Looking back now is just to make me continue to drilling those fundamentals. And as my daughter said, she goes, yeah, but you got to make the fundamentals fun. You got to make the fundamentals fun. Fundamentals. I'm reminded there's a book called The Talent Code. And it was this, I think it's Daniel Coyle, I believe is his name. And in this Talent Code book, he studied pockets where we had groups of people that were athletes or musicians or these types of things that were really thriving. For example, we studied, I believe it was the swim club where Michael Phelps and some other Olympians all came out of this tiny little place. They studied this tennis academy where all these professional tennis players were coming from. He said it was the tennis courts were awful. They barely had nets, but all these high level professional tennis players were coming out of this one area. And he said, out of all the things that I studied, he said, I went and observed what was going on at all these places. And he said, they all did two things. They all put a high, high emphasis on continuing to practice the fundamentals over and over and over again. And he said this, he said, even if you were Michael Phelps, even if you were the professional tennis player, you were in there practicing the fundamentals with the kids. You were in there practicing the fundamentals over and over again with the kids. He said, but they found a way to make them fun. They found a way to make a game out of it. So how can you take these things that you know to do, this simple process of planning your day with God, prayer, planning your day with God, listening, staying tuned into him, and then executing, make it fun, make it enjoyable, execute like you've got God with you, because you do. And then taking communion, those two things, doing what you know to do today with a good attitude, super important fundamental, taking communion daily, super important fundamental. Make those things fun. Make those things enjoyable. And he said the other part of this, practice the fundamentals every day. And then he said they always also found a way to continually challenge people and to make it okay to keep trying for the next level, to keep expanding, to keep growing to the next level. So you got the fundamentals covered where you're growing in those, and then you got continually growing and expanding to the next level. And I believe in this combination of doing what you know to do and communion, you get both of those packed together in one package. So we're getting a little bit off track here, but that's okay. Let's talk about this chapter, the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read just this passage of scripture that you probably have heard several times in your life before, but then we're going to concentrate on this word always. So it says here, love, well, let's go up just a little bit more. Paul says, now I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way. The most excellent way is love. He's talking about, I can have all knowledge. I could give all I have to the poor. I can prophesy. I can have all these gifts of the Spirit. We've been talking about, you've been anointed this month. You've been anointed to do some amazing things. But if you don't have love, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Love is the most excellent way. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Remember, faith works through love. What really counts, faith expressing itself through love. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Notice, the Bible promises, give. Give, and it will be given back to you. But notice, if you give here and surrender your body to the flames, you give to people, but you have not love, you gain nothing. Love is patient. Now notice, love is all of these things at the same time. It's not patient and rude. Love is patient. It's kind. It's not envy, does not boast. It's all of these things at the same time. I've heard it said this way. It's like one fruit with many flavors. It's not like you get one of these and not the others. When you get this, all of it comes together in one package. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude or self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We've been talking a lot about God's unfailing love. So I want to read this one more time. And I want to read this one more time. We're going to substitute because God is love. We're going to substitute. We're going to put wherever it says love here, we're going to put God in there. So we're going to read this again. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not God, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have the faith that can move mountains, but I have not God with me, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not God, I gain nothing. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He's not rude or self-seeking. He's not easily angered. We see God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and grace and mercy. God keeps no record of wrongs. He's forgotten all of our troubles. If you have some things that you've got, just memories, triggers that you have that stir up painful memories of things that have happened to you in the past, we have a communion meditation. If you go onto our blog at the Abundant Life Training Center, there's a communion meditation for our partners. This is in your toolbox, inside of your toolbox, inside of your partner area, inside of your partner portal. There's a special communion meditation for forgetting troubles and painful memories. If you have things that trigger painful memories in you, maybe you've forgiven, but there's still some triggers that trigger painful memories, that communion meditation is extremely powerful. God can cause you to literally forget them. You might still remember that those things happened, but there will not be the pain and those types of things associated with them anymore. once you take communion over them. God can truly wipe them away. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. It's pretty powerful when you just change out the words. You think about God is love. But think about this word. This word always was just jumping out at me. Always protects. I believe somewhere in Thessalonians, it says God will strengthen you and keep you and protect you and keep you from all evil. God will keep you from all evil. He will protect you. He says, not only that, if you're ever in trouble, call out to me and I will deliver you. God will keep you from all evil. Jesus even says to pray for that in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, protect us and keep us from evil. We pray that in our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. Keep, stretch out your hand to heal, do signs and wonders, and keep us from evil and pain. God will always protect. Love always protects. One of the things I like to think about love is God is an ever-present help in a time of need. And God will step into our world. He will step into our world to be very present with us. And he looks around and he sees what's going on in our lives. And he takes steps sometimes even before we even know that we need it to protect us and keep us from things even before we know we need that help. Think about a parent doing that for their kid. They're putting baby gates up and protecting things before the kids even know that they need it. God does that for us, and we can learn to imitate him and do that same thing. God always trusts. God always trusts us. Think about that. We talk often about trusting God, but God always trusts us. That's truly something amazing to think about. What does it mean to trust? It means we trust someone's intentions and their character, what their motivations were of their heart. We trust that their timing is good, that they're going to do what they said they're going to do, they're going to do it on time. Always, all these types of things. God always trusts. And we can learn to imitate him in those things. And God is trustworthy. We can put our hope and our trust in him. God always hopes. He always has hope. He always has confidence. And again, we can learn to imitate him. And it always perseveres. Love never gives up. Love never quits. Love continues to persevere. It keeps showing up. It keeps staying in the present moment. It keeps showing up, continuing to do good. Love does not grow weary in well-doing. And so one of our partners on our Zoom calls, she said something one time, and it really stuck with me. And she says, and she almost didn't say it. She goes, you guys probably already know this, but just the way that she phrased it was really powerful. And she said, you know, we talk about, you know, God is love, how much God loves us, but we're supposed to be loving God, loving ourselves, loving other people. And so this love has to flow in every direction. And so we have to receive God's love, but we're also supposed to be loving God. So we're supposed to be giving God, we're supposed to be protecting our relationship with God. We're supposed to be protecting that. We're supposed to be always trusting in him. We're supposed to be always hoping in him. We're supposed to be always persevering. And we're supposed to be letting that flow through us back to him and then to other people as well. And so this love of God, we have to receive it. We have to let all these things flow back to God as well. And we got to give the same love to ourselves and let it flow through to other people. And so we have to trust in God. We have to protect our relationship with God. I believe it's a proverb that says, he who guards his master, something like that, that we could guard our master, we could look out for his name and protect his reputation in this life. But let's take communion over this idea of just always. God is the same. He never changes. And we can receive that from him and reflect it back to him, to become more steadfast and immovable in this ourselves and let it flow through us, to always be the same for other people, to get where we are steadfast and immovable, just like God is. And are we there yet? Probably not. But we can continue growing and getting better and better in this. And that's the most important thing, I think. But every time we take communion, you know, at our house, we keep a box of matzo crackers and some grape juice just on hand all the time. And we take communion often. We take it every day. And then anytime there are issues that come up. Anytime my mind starts going in the wrong direction and I got to get it fixed back, my go-to thing that I do, if I need to, is I take communion again as a way to get more present, to fix my mind back that, wait a minute, God is always with me. He never changes. His love is steadfast. His love never fails. He's protecting me. I can trust in him. He's here with me right now. And this sacrifice of communion, we're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus that happened over 2,000 years ago. And we're bringing it into this present moment and making it relevant in our lives right now in this present moment. And I believe if you'll take communion regularly, it will truly change the trajectory of your life going forward. It may look like your life is going down, but with take communion, it changes and it turns things around. It turns the tables and it changes the trajectory going forward. So if you ever feel like, hey, you got symptoms coming on your body, your mind can't get go in the right direction, financial pressure comes on you, and it looks like things are going to take you down, you can take communion as a way to turn the tables and change the trajectory. Receive God's help in this present moment, which changes the trajectory going forward. But every time we take communion, we take it with holy awe and reverence for God and for Jesus and for what he did. And every time we take it, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which his death was a big deal, because in the case of a will or an estate plan, nothing happens until you prove somebody's death. When the death is proven, all of the will and estate gets set into motion. And this new covenant that we have in Christ, every time we're proclaiming his death, we're setting his new covenant, his will and his last will and testament. We're setting that into motion into our lives, making it relevant and active in our life. Communion is like an activator. That God is with us. He is for us, all because of what Jesus did. And in him, in Christ, all of his promises are yes and amen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, and we bless it. In Jesus' name, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this cup of the new covenant. Father, we bless this cup in Jesus' name. We thank you that after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." So every time we take communion, it is an activation. It's a turning of the tables. Wait a minute. I don't have to work and perform to be right with God. He's with me right now in this present moment, and I can receive his love, and I can go forward today walking this out that he's with me. He's always with me. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.